spent his last days at the church in Ephesus. And the story goes that as a frail old man, he wasn't able even to walk. And so his fellow believers would pick him up and carry him into their place of worship gathering. And there on Sundays, they would ask him, "Brother John, do you have a word from the Lord to tell us?" And the only thing that John would ever say to them was, "Little children, love one another." And he would say this to them every time. So finally, one of the young men got kind of tired of John just saying this same thing over and over again. And so he asked him, "Master, why do you always say this to us?" And John replied, "Because it is the Lord's command. And if this only is done, it is enough." Yes, to show love to others is at the heart of the Christian faith. While these works of love can never save us or justify us, make us right before God, or merit us eternal life, they are nevertheless something that every Christian does. And this is because good works of love always flow from a heart that believes in Jesus Christ as Savior. They are the fruit of faith, the grapes of faith. If this is done, it is enough. That saying of John reminds me of something Martin Luther, that great reformer of the church, once said about putting one's faith into practice. He said, "Every morning and evening, whenever I have time, I read and say word for word the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Psalms. I must still read and study the Catechism daily, yet I cannot master it as I wish, but must remain a child and student of the Catechism." It's enough to be a student of Jesus and practice love every day, friends, to practice the Ten Commandments and to pray the Lord's Prayer. It's enough to simply draw near to our Lord Jesus and receive from him love and forgiveness, and then to share that love with others. That's it. That should be our main purpose in life. As young people, I'm sure you have many great and lofty plans for your life, well and good, but just know that God has even greater plans for you and for your life, and he has plans that you could never even imagine, and his plan for you is that you would produce grapes for him. He will use you to show love to those around you in your life as you live in your faith in him and put it into practice. Putting our faith into practice, friends, is a lifelong endeavor. We're never going to master this, but we can, by God's grace, work at it every day as we learn and grow in God's word. We are students in the school of Jesus, and we sometimes call this our sanctification, where we learn to be more holy and loving like Jesus every day. Unlike our justification before God, our sanctification is never finished in this life. One day in heaven it will be finished and will be perfectly sanctified and holy forever, just as the saints are in heaven. But this side of heaven, you and I still struggle, do battle against that old sinful flesh, that old Adam and Eve within each of us that wants us to ignore God's word and to not show love to our neighbor. Our justification is finished. It's very important to understand that has been accomplished for us by Jesus. Jesus has acquired forgiveness for every sin and has made everything right for us with God. He forgives us for the times when we have been unloving. Jesus has brought us into a favorable relationship and status with God once more. So that's completely taken care of. You and I are justified. We are one with Jesus Christ by faith. Jesus says that he is the vine and that we are the branches, living branches, engrafted into him. We are credited with everything that is his. As surely as the branches are intimately connected into the vine and receive everything from the vine, so you and I have received forgiveness and justification from God. We are alive in Jesus Christ, and by his justifying word, we are already clean, says Jesus. Already clean, forgiven, and dearly loved by God. And now, since we are forgiven, living branches who are connected to Jesus, we produce grapes, fruit for God in our lives. And these grapes that Jesus speaks of are the good works of love that God would have us do. And this producing fruit business is a part of our sanctification. It's a process of growing in faith and producing good works as we stay connected to Jesus, the vine. We are branches to Jesus, and his love flows through us, since we are his branches. And this is the key. Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. If we want to do anything that's worthwhile in this life, then it has to be something that grows and emanates from our being connected to Jesus, friends. We can't do anything good of ourselves, but as we stay connected to Jesus and the life-giving sap of his word and sacraments, well, then we will produce good fruit, good works of love toward God and others in our lives. We will be useful and set apart for God as his faithful sons and daughters. Little children, love one another. If this only is done, it is enough. The Apostle John also writes in his first letter, beloved, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and God is love. God is always the source of our love. We see his great love demonstrated for us on the cross, where Jesus willingly gave his life for us in love. His love for us is what causes us to love one another. For who can hold a grudge against a brother or sister when God has chosen to forgive us? Who could refuse to help a brother or sister in need when Jesus gave his very life to help us in our need? Who can turn away a fellow sinner bought with the blood of Christ? Yes, everything in this world is dead and selfish and cold, including our sinful nature. But Jesus is the living, warm, welcoming vine of life growing in the midst of this dying world. And we, dear friends, though unworthy, are privileged to be connected to him by faith. And so we thank him for changing us into living branches who get to share in his life and love, and who get to share that life and love with others. So we practice this love, even as the wise, aged Apostle John advised the Ephesians to do. We live in the vine. We immerse ourselves in our baptism every day. And we hear Jesus' word. And we receive Jesus himself in communion so that we can grow closer to Jesus and learn from him and become more and more like him and share his love with those around us. Now, we won't be perfect in this, it's true. We are simul justus et peccator, as we Lutherans are apt to say. Many of you probably have to learn that phrase for your religion classes. That is, we are at the same time saint and sinner. We are saints who are completely justified and holy in God's sight through faith in Jesus, but we still struggle with our sinful flesh as sinners. But the struggle is good, friends. It means that God is at work in us. The painful pruning of God the Father, the vine dresser, is good for us. With the shears of the cross, God is cutting away the dead, decaying, sinful parts of us. The parts of us that are self-centered and greedy and lustful and anger-filled and pride-filled, cold and apathetic towards God and neighbor. And so God does this. He trims us. He causes the trials and difficulties and challenges of life to come into our life so that we learn to draw closer to Jesus and take in more sap from him, so that we despair of ourselves and constantly turn to Christ for help and draw sap from him who is our only life, our vine. You know, I have a garden. I love making spicy salsa. I just made a batch a couple weeks ago. And if you want those pepper plants to really produce lots of spicy peppers, you really have to chop them up and prune them. Pruning produces good and better fruit, friends. So it is with us, friends. The troubles of life draw us closer to Jesus. And they consequently make us more loving towards others as we draw closer to Jesus, the source of life and love. Woe to me if my life is always about me and I get everything I want, for then I can't be like Jesus. Rather, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are persecuted and reviled and who struggle, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when you are pruned, dear friends, for then you have Jesus, and Jesus is all you need. Even in death, you have him who is your life-giving vine. You know, in the Gospel of John, you'll hear John refer to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He never uses his first name when writing his gospel. You see, John wanted to be identified and characterized by his Savior's love for him. May it be the same for us, friends. May Jesus' love and forgiveness become our very identity and our whole reality, so that even as the branch is in the vine, I am his and he is mine. Thanks be to God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. At this time, let us join our hearts and minds together in prayer, and we will also remember in our prayers this morning Bethany professors Anne Fredrickson and Pete Bladel. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have made us heirs of your eternal and great promises. Increase in us daily the gifts of faith, hope, and love, that we may love all that you command. We ask this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. And we also pray, Heavenly Father, that you would look with mercy and compassion upon your servants, Peter and Anne, who put their trust in you, and mercifully accept our prayers on behalf of them that by your power their sickness may be turned to health according to your good and gracious will. We ask this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.